Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cannabis Marketing Podcast. I'm Rob Howard, founder of Daily Story. Today, we're going to talk about social marketing in the cannabis industry. Joining me today is Jeff Eisenstadt. Jeff is the chief of staff at Grove Bags and is one of the company's marketing leads. Jeff has been featured in publications including High Times and Cranes. He is a graduate of Georgetown Law and has significant experience navigating the advertising and packaging regulations in this industry. Jeff has created go-to-market strategies for cannabis and CBD products and partnerships with major influencers. Jeff, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Hey, so, you know, I'm really thrilled to have you on the podcast. I think, you know, we were both at CannaCon in Oklahoma City, and we were just kind of chatting, and you had mentioned your experience with social media and specifically Instagram and your position at Grove Bags. And immediately I was like jumping on top of you, trying to figure out how we get you on the podcast. I'm really thrilled to have you here. Why don't you give me a little bit of background? Tell me a little bit about Grove Bags, a little bit what you do, and then let's start talking about some of this Instagram stuff that I think is really going to be important to unpack for our audience.
Thanks so much, Rob. I appreciate that kind introduction, and I'm excited to be here as well. Grove Bags is a cannabis packaging company, and what makes us unique is our proprietary film, Terplock. And Terplock in-gases and out-gases to create the optimal humidity and oxygen levels for the cannabis plant, in addition to possessing an anti-static layer, which it keeps your trichomes intact. And at Grove Bags, what I do is I oversee our compliance function and our marketing function. And the reason I'm with you today, and probably the more exciting part of that, is the marketing function.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the marketing function is so challenging in this industry. And, you know, I mean, I'm on the marketing side of the house too, well, running a marketing business actually. And we always are kind of running into challenges with our cannabis and CBD customers around compliance and regulation. And I just can imagine for you with a product that requires kind of visual placement for people to see it, to understand it. Marketing on Instagram has got to be just a challenge. And I'd love to kind of hear kind of what your strategy is, what your approach is, how you use Instagram at Grove Bags today.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. So it's very challenging and very important, which you know, makes it a fun topic of discussion and a fun thing to practice. And really, part of the challenges on Instagram really are, one, for cannabis brands, you're shadow banned. So it's difficult for folks to find you even when they're trying to. I know members of the team have personally watched friends type our names and type our company name in and see when we come up, and it's difficult to find us. Your content's not appearing on people's feeds unless they're specifically looking for it or it's shared by someone. And we're really in an emerging space where you're guessing at consumer preference and what makes something cool or appealing or makes people gravitate towards it in cannabis. So I think that the regulations and the treatment from Instagram, as well as the lack of consumer preference and data in the space, makes it uniquely challenging and uniquely exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is super challenging. I mean, it's something that we hear from folks that we talk with all the time. I mean, Instagram is just such an important medium for them to communicate the brand in a visual manner. And I just want to go back to a couple of things you kind of mentioned. So just for people that aren't really familiar with what shadow banning is, especially with what Instagram does, can you just kind of explain what that means and what happens?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're on your home feed and on your Instagram app, and the app's algorithm is selecting photos and videos that might be of interest to you, they're pulling from certain sources, and they aren't going to pull from a cannabis account or something they've deemed a cannabis account, which we are deemed as even just being a cannabis packaging company. Further, when you're typing in the name of an account you want to follow or a company you're interested in, it's more difficult for our name to come up and appear for you to find the actual correct account to follow. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, it makes total sense. I just, it's, so if like someone wanted to follow you guys on Instagram, they have to have your exact Instagram handle or name and enter that exactly as it is versus it kind of predictively suggesting what you may intend to be looking for. Is that a good summation?
Absolutely. You have to, you really have to intend to find us to find us. So that's part of the challenge and part of the reason that, you know, part of our strategy is how do we get in front of a new audience and new people? And we really find that being shared by other accounts and other accounts that may not be cannabis is really important for that because that exposes you to a new audience.
Yeah. And how do you go about building that network though? Cause I mean, a community, the cannabis community is pretty connected. And I think a lot of people in the cannabis community want to kind of share experiences and share positive feedback, but how do you get started with that? How do you convince like the influencers that are on Instagram in this space just to start talking about your brand and sharing it in a way that you can get new followers?
So that's a great, really great question. And I think part of it is we use existing relationships. We use people that reach out and contact us or who we notice has posted something about us. And then we form a more formal relationship. And we've also been lucky enough to have our product used by a number of important grows in this space. So we've kind of had this built-in set of important folks that we've been able to use to kind of get our brand out there. One of those folks is Trash Hand, who's a friend of mine that we have an upcoming collaboration with. He has a good 600,000 followers on Instagram. And when he ultimately shares that release, we're going to get exposure from a set of eyes we could never reach before.
Yeah, 600,000 followers would be pretty helpful, I imagine, for getting your brand name out there.
Absolutely. In the cannabis space, when you see a brand with 30,000, 50,000 followers, it's a pretty established, exciting brand. So to get 600,000 new followers looking at our product, in what's an analogous audience, I think that people who are interested in art and he's a street artist, so it's a younger audience, are also interested in cannabis and in cannabis packaging as well, which we view as a we view cannabis packaging and great cannabis as being very core to our identity and what we consider fun. And we like to think a large part of our audience thinks that way as well.
So it's about community. So, and I think it sounds like you're pretty fortunate to have some good relationships in the community already with influencers that can share your brand. But, you know, if you're a smaller cannabis brand, if you're a dispensary, you don't have kind of the same, you may not have the same kind of reach. I would imagine that like some good kind of recommendations, and I'm sure you have some more, what like one recommendation might be, hey, just like go follow and comment on the other brands that are kind of in the market because they'll tend to comment and follow back. I mean, do you find that to be true?
Yes, absolutely. To a degree. I think that what's really important for, emerging brands, and I still consider us an emerging brand, is to encourage sharing by interacting back with your audience. So an important part of our social strategy, and I think the reason a lot of people share grow bag photos, are we like to share them to our story. We'll reshare them in our feed. We'll feature different growers and home growers that we think are exciting and doing really cool stuff in the space. And we get the benefit of sharing really great content that's produced by someone who's not us. And I think that word of mouth recommendation that doesn't come from the brand is always the most powerful. And they're able to get that interaction with a brand and some additional exposure. And really, we become more relatable to our followers.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, that's such a great point. The fact that you have customers that are also publishing content that uses your product that you can reshare. I mean, that's good for them. It's good for you. And that actually kind of leads into my next question, which is like, when you think about Instagram in particular, you know, very visual, lots of photos, lots of imagery, obviously, there's probably some best practices as far as what you can do and what you can't do, because, you know, the concern that anyone always has is, man, they're going to yank my account. They're going to shut me down because I'm doing something that's considered wrong by their terms of service. So what's the kind of guidance you would give someone as far as what to do and what to stay away from?
Absolutely. So it's, we've kind of learned through trial and error and really seeing and observing people around us and kind of learning through accounts that get suspended. But one thing you'll notice is cannabis accounts do not sell directly through their account, and they don't link directly to their sales site or use the Instagram shopping feature. And the reason none of these cannabis brands use it or cannabis packaging brands use it is because it's much more likely to be the promotion of a sale, much more likely to get you in trouble and booted. Secondly, really sadly, another way that people get booted off of Instagram is by having people report their photos as violating community guidelines. And part of that is, you know, someone who might just dislike your brand or be upset about a previous interaction or not like someone at your company can report you and report your photos and kind of get you on Instagram's bad list. And that's where you don't want to be, because that's when you're going to have to be really careful about what you can share and what you can't share and how much cannabis is in the photo, including disclaimers about how it's not for sale and is just for, you know, promotional marketing purposes only. And to make it clear that your content is for people 21 and over.
Yeah, I think the common theme that I picked up there is nothing related to the sale of cannabis in any way, shape, or form. And we find that to be true in all the marketing that we've seen across other channels as well, which that's where people tend to get in troubles. And when they start talking about here's how to sell, or here's where you can buy it, here's our menu, that's when it seems like, I know on like Facebook and other channels, that's when it seems like, the cannabis marketers tend to get themselves in a bit of trouble with the social channels that they're trying to publish through.
Yeah. It's a conundrum, really, because the goal is to sell.
Exactly.
But yeah. you don't want to place it too close to people and then lose that built-in audience and that ability to give that person a call to action ever again from Instagram.
I know it's so crazy, Jeff, just because, like, you know, as a marketer, our number one job is like to promote product and solutions to ultimately get customer to buy something. So it's just, it creates so much headwind in this space when you're always kind of faced with those challenges as a marketer. And that's actually why we started this podcast, was because the challenges for a marketer in this space are just more unique than any other industry. And I just think it's fascinating talking with people such as yourself that have experience there. All right, let's talk about some trends. So, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the industry as far as, you know, social media trends. There's things happening in the industry as far as, you know, the laws being passed and legalization, hopefully, of cannabis. I mean, my prediction is it's still, you know, at least 5 years away, optimistically. What are some of the trends that you're seeing, like kind of just in the weeds, so to speak, on a kind of day-to-day marketer in this space? What are you seeing?
I'm a little biased, but what I'm noticing in the space, really, in terms of packaging especially and cannabis brands in general, is one, a move towards on-pack messaging and use of flexible packaging in order to think of cookies bags. So think about those exotic strains and that Gary Payton image, or the apple fritter, really those images that make you want to eat the contents of the package. That's really what I'm seeing trend visually on Instagram in the packaging space.
That's interesting. So it sounds like it's starting to kind of follow more of other kind of consumer packaged goods, visual and imagery for kind of enticing the consumer, so to speak, into what they're getting.
Absolutely. You know, and cannabis is it's a subjective experience. And so that first feeling you get when you look at a package, and catching someone's attention in the dispensary really sets the tone for their entire experience they have with that product.
So Jeff, let's also just kind of talk a little bit about what it's like in a day for Jeff working in marketing in this space. Like, kind of walk me through kind of what a typical week would look like for you. I mean, how much time are you spending? And maybe I'm wrong, but are you the one kind of doing all the Instagram scheduling and publishing? I mean, how much time do you spend on that versus other marketing functions?
So I'd say that I didn't want to take credit for doing all the Instagram posting, because our lead designer, Jalen, does that work for us. But I really set a fair amount of the strategy in terms of what we're going to do on Instagram. For example, you know, I think that people follow you on Instagram for a reason, and they want a certain type of content. And I think that content has to really be visually pleasing. So I'm not a big, huge believer in infographics. I don't think people are there for them. I think they're there to see cannabis photos and really excellent flower and really excellent bags that are such a cool design. You would have never imagined a bag so cool in your life until you saw it come to life on Instagram.
How many posts are you doing per week on Instagram typically?
So that's a good question, Rob, because one thing that marketers like to do is really they feel like posting is the only way they can gain followers. But what I find is that overposting is also a dangerous game. And I don't know if you've noticed that in your experience, but posting just to post doesn't make sense to me. So I think we post about 2 or 3 times a week, depending on what we're doing, to our main feed. And then we're sharing on stories every day.
And are you getting in there and, I mean, you're resharing, but are you going in there and commenting on content as well? And just on your followers, or are you kind of always looking for new content that you're going and contributing to?
So we're always looking for content to reshare. And so one thing we'll do is we'll just reshare some of our customers. Part of what makes our brand really cool is the people we work with. So we use a lot of their content, both in our feed and in our story, because really that's why I think the audience is there, is because they love great cannabis. So they love Grove Bags and they love cool packaging. And that's what we deliver. So we encourage those brand photos, and brands are excited when they have new packaging. They take really great pictures and really great photos and are eager to share them with their audience. And their fans also take great pictures with their cannabis and with their bags. And even if Grove Bags isn't tagged in it, I'll go back through customer feeds just to find our bags in the wild and share those people's photos to our story.
What kind of tools are you using for Instagram for managing your account and doing all the sharing?
So we use Later, and which gives us you know, analytics insight into how our Instagram account's doing. The Instagram Insights tool is also pretty powerful. And a fair amount of it really is also just going through it manually. And, you know, a funny anecdote, Rob, is I went through some of our most liked photos and realized that the commonality was the amount of cannabis displayed in them. It wasn't very highly scientific. It's the more product you show, the more people like it was generally what I found out from going through that. So we use a fair amount of tools to automate. And I think that's extremely important, because you just don't have the time in the week to be going on an Instagram account every day at 1 p.m. or 11 a.m., whatever you found works best for your company. But you can't really replace fully that human element of going through Instagram to find your bags in the wild and find your content in the wild and reshare it. And also the power of interacting with a human. The person who runs that brand account really becomes the voice of the brand. They're the ones who are interacting with a lot of companies that are contacting you. and a lot of consumers themselves. So that's a very important role, maintaining that human element and that small community feel is really a key to our marketing, Rob. We're the right size now, where we have a decent size following, but we still are small enough that we're able to contact and reach out to a lot of our fans and interact with them and kind of have a play back and forth with posting that you can't do when you're a huge company.
Yeah, I think that's such a great kind of nugget I think you just shared there, which was the voice of the brand. I think that gets lost on a lot of people that think, oh, I'm going to create a brand and I'm going to let the brand kind of represent kind of me on social media. And really what you have to do is you have to get a person in there that people can identify with and can really relate to. And I think that's a really key kind of nugget. So I'm glad you brought that up. What about, I had a note that I just wrote down when you were kind of going through some of this, but what about measurement? So you talked a little bit about some of the tools you use, but when you sit back and you go, hey, this was successful, how are you measuring the success of your time spent on Instagram?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I think the way you measure success in business is always sales. And bottom line. But what we're looking for too is traffic. We're looking to see how many people are coming to our website from Instagram. Are we inspiring that next step to learn more about us, to go to our website and actually make a purchase, which is the end goal of every business ultimately. So we're tracking the analytics weekly and daily to see what posts drive traffic. You have to be experimenting constantly and kind of A/B testing with when you're posting to see how that influences traffic to your website. And we're also reaching out to customers and having fields that they can input about where they found out about our brand. And you know, anecdotally, that provides us with a decent amount of data to know if we're, you know, doing things correctly and the strategy's working, or if we say, hey guys, we kind of want to pivot from what we're doing because it's not driving the traffic and the conversions that we thought it was.
That's super helpful. So I think, man, this has been a great session. I think this has just been a lot of kind of interesting little nuggets in here that I've kind of written down myself already. I mean, the voice of the customer stuff. I think how you measure success is also super important. I mean, the tracking of, you know, how it actually impacts the traffic to your website. I mean, that's a good metric to look at as well. The comments around the type of content you should post and stay away from, I think is super helpful. So Jeff, I think this is a good place to wrap up, but I'd like to kind of, before we do that, just give you the opportunity. If someone wants to follow you on Instagram, maybe you could share that as well as any other contact information if someone has some questions for you.
Absolutely. So I invite everyone to follow Grove Bags on Instagram. And that's just our name with no space. And then you guys can reach out to me at jeff@grovebags.com. And really, Rob, what I'd say is the most important part of cannabis marketing and marketing on Instagram for cannabis brands is to be fun.
Okay. Well, Jeff, thanks. I think it's probably a good place to stop. For more information, please see the show notes or visit dailystory.com. We've included links and other material in the show notes so you can follow Jeff or Grove Bags on Instagram as well. We'll include all that information. So I'm Rob Howard, and thanks for listening.